Our study on angels continues with Dr. Don Wilton, and we're headed to Judges. Who would have thought Judges to talk about angels? It's on the way. Yes, as a matter of fact, Judges chapter 13 in just a moment. But first, Dr. Don wants you to know we're here for you. We're connecting on our website, tewonline.org, and connecting so many with this wonderful series, The Great Awakening, Biblical Truths in Perilous Times. It's available on our website right now. Take a peek. tewonline.org is our website. That's tewonline.org. Or if you'd like to call us and ask us about it, we'll tell you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Happy to connect with resources, but also happy to pray for you. 866-899-9673. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I'm going to read to you a remarkable passage of Scripture this morning. It's found in Judges chapter 13. And you might remember Samson, the man with the long hair, who served the Lord and then fell into sin, and his hair was cut and the Spirit of the Lord left him. This is the story about the birth of Samson. And it is absolutely infiltrated by the presence of one of God's angels. Let me read it to you. Chapter 13 and verse 1. Again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. Now here's what happens. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. Now, see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Then the woman went to her husband and told him, "A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me," and there are the instructions that the angel gave that we read just a moment ago. Verse 8, "Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, 'O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born.' God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field, but her husband Manoah was not with her. So the woman hurried to tell her husband, 'He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day.' Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, 'Are you the one who talked to my wife?' 'I am,' he said. So Manoah asked him, 'When your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule for the boy's life and work?'" Interesting here with the Rogers. We just had a dedication service here, John, for your son. There's a sense in which we were asking, "Lord, what is your rule for Cameron's life and work?" Verse 15. Let's go back to verse 13. "The angel of the Lord answered, 'Your wife must do all that I have told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, etc.' Verse 15. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'We would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you.' The angel of the Lord replied, 'Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord.' Manoah did not realize that it was an angel of the Lord." Kind of sounds like Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, doesn't it? Be very careful, because you just might be entertaining an angel unawares. That's exactly what happened here. Verse 17, "Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, so that we may honor you when your word comes true?' He replied, 'Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding.'" Folks, we're going to discover time without number that angels will not and cannot receive any recognition themselves. Everything they do points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. To God our Heavenly Father. Then Manoah took a young goat together with the grain offering and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven. By the way, anyone wonder where heaven is? All right, here's another one of those. As the flame blazed up from the altar up toward heaven. Now we'll look what happens. The angel of the Lord ascended into the flame, went up into the flame, into heaven. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. "We are doomed to die," he said to his wife. "We have seen God." But his wife answered, "Manoah, if the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, or told us this." The woman gave birth to a boy named Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him. What an incredible encounter. Let me just remind you about some of the things that angels do. Number one, they give directions. Number two, they wait for orders. Number three, they follow orders immediately. Number four, they mean business. Number five, as we saw last week, they carry out God's judgment. All right, number six, write this down. Now we're going to get into some wonderful things today. Number six, according to God's word, angels guide us. Angels guide us. Now I want to just show you one or two passages. Could we do that? I want everyone here to turn to Genesis chapter 16. Let's just turn there very quickly. Love to hear those pages turning in the house of God. Genesis chapter 16. And just to put Genesis 16 into context, you will remember that this has to do with Hagar. Now Hagar, H-A-G-A-R, Hagar was the lady that Abraham turned to try and carry out the will of God. And it was not the will of God. You remember that God came to Abraham and said to him, "Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations." The name Sarah means to laugh or laughter, because Sarah laughed. She said, "Oh, well, this is one for the books. I'm so old, there's no way that I can conceive and have a child." Abraham was old himself. They thought this was impossible. Sarah was beyond childbearing age. And so, of course, Abraham, being restless and rather wanting to carry out the will of God in his own life, he turned to Hagar and took her unto himself. And he lay with her, and she conceived. And she had a baby called Ishmael, from which we trace the line and lineage of the Arab nations today. And we know what happened there. Now listen to what happened to Hagar. Verse 6 of chapter 16. The Bible says, "Your servant is in your hands," Abraham said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarah mistreated Hagar, and so she fled from her. Now could I just ask a question just very quickly here? No, I don't want any hands raised or anything. Wonder if there's anybody this morning worshiping with us who has been mistreated. God gets his angels involved. Watch what happens here in verse 7. "The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert." It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. He said, "Hagar, servant of Sarah, where have you come from? And where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarah," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." Then the angel added, "I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." Can you imagine that? And then the angel continues that discourse. Angels guide us. Let me just give you another one. Turn over to Genesis chapter 19. God, for whatever reason known to the heart of God, employed his angels to engage in a very sordid time in the history of the world. Well, look what happens here. In Genesis 19, I'll begin at verse 15. With the coming of dawn, the angels, and by the way, here is one of those instances where God dispatched a number of angels, urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters, and he led them, watch this now, folks, and he led them safely out of the city. And the Hebrew text puts it like this: he led them safely out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah on account of, or because, the Lord had decreed his mercy upon them. Very important to understand that in the Hebrew text. The angel of God took these people who were hesitating, basically they were arguing with God, weren't they? He took them, and by the hand, he actually guided them and led them out of the city to safety. Why? Because God Jehovah had decreed from his royal throne, had conferred upon them the dispensation of his mercy. Angels guide us. Now, in point one, and I just want to kind of put any kind of confusion to bed here for a moment, if I may. In point one, I suggested to you from God's word that angels give us direction. Why? Because in giving direction, angels answer the three most fundamental questions related to knowing and doing the will of God. What are those questions? Number one, where to go? You want to know and do the will of God? You've got to answer that question. Where do I go? Number two, what to do? And number three, when to go? That is angels giving us direction. They connect into knowing and doing the will of God.
Could there be anything more important than knowing and doing the will of God? Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the rest of today's message in just a moment from Dr. Don Wilton. But again, he wants me to remind you, we're here for you. We're taking the calls at 866-899-WORD right now during the broadcast. 866-899-9673. But we also have a wonderful system that routes that to many of us, even at 2 o'clock in the morning. Anxious to pray with you, speak with you, connect with resources, but know that we're here to pray at 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. I mentioned it earlier, but this unique series, The Great Awakening, Biblical Truths in Perilous Times. It's a wonderful message from Dr. Wilton. Take a peek online at tewonline.org and see if it might be the perfect fit for where you are emotionally, spiritually, right now in this time of perilous times. Again, it's all online at tewonline.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
When angels guide us, it has to do with the practical handling and outworking of the nitty-gritty details of knowing and doing the will of God. Let me pick on my wife and I for just a moment. Karen and I. When God called us into the ministry, we didn't know all the details. There is a sense in which God puts it like this. He says, listen, what I do for those whom I love is I send an angel to take you by the hand and to guide you through the streets and the highways and the byways and to show you the nitty-gritty details of the outworking of knowing and doing the will of God. That's what God does. I've got so many passages of Scripture. We're not going to turn to it because I don't have time. I wish I could take you to Exodus chapter 23, Moses on Mount Sinai. Same thing happened there. Numbers 22, the story of Balaam, and verses 22 through 35. We could go into 2 Kings chapter 1, read about Elijah. We're going to do that just now if we get time to do that. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, Joseph, the father, earthly father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph, and the angel in Matthew chapter 1, in Acts chapter 10, almost the whole of Acts chapter 10, verses 3 through 33, the story of Cornelius. What do we read about? We read about the angel of God literally taking control and guiding these individuals through the intimate details of knowing and doing the will of God. Three things I want to say about this. The guidance of angels involves, number one, an alertness to signs. An alertness to signs. They get involved somehow in making us alert, bringing an alertness, an awareness to the signposts that are scattered down the highway of life. They make us aware of that. I'm finding out more and more just how much angels lack, because angels cannot be everywhere. They can only do it one thing at a time, one step at a time, one moment at a time. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. He operates with everybody at all times because He is God, and He breathes in us and He inspires us and He moves us. Does the Holy Spirit alert us to God's signage? Of course He does. But God says, I'm going to send an angel to guide you. Number two, the guidance of angels involve the acquisition of means. The acquisition of means. What does that mean? It means that Scripture teaches us that the angels are involved at God's command in not only alerting us to signs, but in the acquisition or the provision of the resources necessary to be able to do what we are told to do. We find that repeatedly here. Right throughout Scripture, the angels say, well, there it is. Turn this way. You can have that. I'm going to give you food. You need to turn around, look over your shoulder. There it is. I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to provide the resources necessary. And number three, the guidance of angels involves attention to detail. And I've spoken about that. Every turn in the road. Well, angels guide us. Number seven, angels comfort us. Now, folks, this is going to be something that will boggle your mind when it comes to the work and to the ministry that angels perform. Go back again to Genesis chapter 21. Go to Genesis. Look, forget Genesis 21. Go to 1 Kings. Go to 1 Kings chapter 19. We don't have time. Go to 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's go to a different encounter altogether. 1 Kings chapter 19. Listen to the pages of God's book turning. Isn't that wonderful? 1 Kings chapter 19. All right, now that you found it, I want you to just look at me for a second. Rhetorical question. Is there anybody worshiping the Lord today who is hurting, who is afraid? Is there anybody here today worshiping the Lord who is going through some kind of difficulty? Maybe you've been shocked beyond reason. Maybe a bomb was just dropped right in the middle of your life. Maybe you are reeling. You don't know where to turn to. You don't know how to handle it. Maybe the doctor told you something this week. It was news that you didn't want to hear. Look at what happened here in the life of Elijah. Chapter 19 of 1 Kings. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 3. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. Anyone been there before? Listen to this. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. He lay down under the tree and fell asleep. Watch this. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat. for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, strengthened by that food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God, where he went into a cave and spent the night. Now I want you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. You must see this for yourself. This is the most staggering of all the passages dealing with angels and comfort. In Luke chapter 2, 22, Jesus Christ is going through the absolute agony of the impending cross. We are reading about the cross experience of the Son of Man. This is the Lord Jesus we're talking about. Look what happens here. Luke 22 and verse 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. One of the most agonizing prayers, if not the most agonizing prayer that you and I will ever read. "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of my suffering, this cup of the cross, this cup of the sin of the world that comes upon me. Please take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done." Now watch what happens. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. There are three things about angels and comfort that I want you to know that God speaks to my own heart about. There's something here that God is saying to us as a church. Number one, this type of comfort, angel comfort, is a spoken comfort. Have you ever wondered what to say to somebody when they're hurting or in pain or bereaved? Have you ever wondered what to say? Angel comfort teaches us something. It's a spoken comfort. You see, friends, listen. Sometimes we feel that when we minister to somebody, we've got to say the right words. We've got to be theological, doctrinal. We've got to get real. No. Spoken comfort, sometimes it's just that word that you say that will bless a heart beyond anything that you'll ever know. It's just a spoken word, and you're so good at that. I want to commend you as a church. Number two, angel comfort, listen, angel comfort is a practical comfort. It's a practical comfort. Listen, folks, what the angels are showing us here, it's not just what I say, it's the accompanying action that follows that. That's what the church is all about. This is what angels were involved in doing, and what I believe angels are involved in doing. Okay, it is a spoken comfort. Number two, it is a practical comfort. But there's number three. It is a presence comfort. It is a presence comfort. Now, did you notice this in this passage here? This is remarkable, folks. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Here comes an angel in the time of his need. The angel comes, he sits down, he says absolutely nothing, and Jesus Christ is strengthened. You know what God tells me in that? God says to me, "Listen, Don, you do need to speak comfort, and you do need to follow your spoken word with practical help, but sometimes the best strength and comfort you can give to somebody is just by being there for them." Folks, listen. Sometimes the greatest thing you and I can do is to just be there. Just be there. That's presence comfort. It's those times when you find yourself in an untoward situation and your heart is hurting. For example, you'll go to a hospital bed sometimes and someone will be hurting so badly. Friend, listen, don't feel like you've got to talk when you go in that hospital room. It's difficult. Some people don't want to talk, you know. I tell you, I think about that all the time. Man, we go into these hospital rooms and here's this precious wife She's just given birth to a baby, and here come all the guests, one after the other. And there she's lying there. You know, she feels like she looks like $1 million, you know. She says, "Oh, yay, everybody's coming to look at me." And we all start filing in there one after the other, and then we start talking, and she wants to go to sleep. That's the greatest thing she could do after delivery, is just have a good old jolly sleep. She's earned it. But we want to say, "Well, how are you? What color lipstick are you wearing?" I mean, we want to get into all of the... Sometimes, folks, listen. Sometimes we've just got to go there and minister. That's what Jesus Christ does for us. He's just there.
Jesus is just there. I pray that we realize that the power of being there, of staying close, is something that we believe very seriously in. And even in this time of distance, we're available for you 24 hours a day. You can call and talk with someone, happy to talk and listen and pray. We'd love to connect you with great resources like that Great Awakening, Biblical Truths in Perilous Times, but we are here more importantly to talk, maybe to answer some questions and to pray. 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. Before we get away, closing thoughts from our pastor, Dr. Don.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you, and I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey.
If God stirred your heart to that decision to give your heart to Jesus, welcome to the family of God. Maybe there's still questions needing to be answered. Let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. 866-899-WORD is the number to connect with 24 hours a day. That's 866-899-9673. We're here for you. Online as well at tewonline.org. Also a great place, tewonline.org, to discover resources like this.
Our nation is in trouble. Many voices are speaking in our world. We must learn to apply biblical truths to the times in which we now live. With your gift of support to the Encouraging Word this month, you will receive Dr. Wilton's classic and timely message, The Great Awakening, Biblical Truths in Perilous Times. Messages include The Antichrist, Apostasy, Part 1 and 2, and What One Man Can Do for a Nation. This message will be sent to you for your gift of $20 or more in support of the Encouraging Word. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request The Great Awakening, Biblical Truths in Perilous Times today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
We'll be back tomorrow with a series on angels with Dr. Don Wilton. I hope you'll join us, and bring a friend.